Ephesians chapter 6. We are in the middle of a series, if you will, through our study in Ephesians. We started at chapter 1, verse 1, worked our way all the way through Ephesians, and for the last few weeks, we've been looking at God's plan. God's plan for the home, God's plan for the wife, God's plan for the husband, God's plan for kids, God's plan for parents, and this morning, it's God's plan at work. Whether you're an employee or an employer, God's word has something to say to you this morning about being a Christian employee and employer. You've seen them, haven't you? They're plaster all over the cars. I-O, so off to work I go. How can I soar with the eagles when I work with turkeys all week? I'm so broke that I can't even pay attention. They're all attitudes we have toward work. They're all attitudes that we carry with us when we look at work. When we find ourselves waking up on a Monday morning and heading off to work. And work takes up a very important chunk of our time, doesn't it? 97,760. It's a big number. Some of us wish that's a number in our checking account, or some of us want that on our W-2 at the end of the year. But 97,760 is an interesting number, but it's also an important number. It's the amount of hours the average person will spend at work during the course of their lifetime. 97,000 hours at work. And you're saying, I know, Ed. I know what it feels like. From age 18 to 65, just working just 40 hours a week. That doesn't include overtime or the extra time you spend thinking about it. The average person will spend a third of their life at work. A third of it. Well, big deal, Ed. I got to go to work, right? Got to provide for my family. I've got to be able to support my home. And work does supply the needs of our home, and God does use it to provide. But you see, Christians, work is where it's at. Work is center stage. Work is the theater that God uses to display His glory. It's the silver screen of God's work in and through our lives. And that means that if it's the theater and the silver screen, that you are the star. All eyes are on you at work. And they truly are. God uses the workplace to place the Christian on display. You see, with all the stress and strains and all the tensions and tests and all the deadlines that you face and all the demands that are there at work, the world gets to see one of Jesus' own disciples in action. Isn't that great? People get to see you, and in you, in your response, in your attitude, they get to see Jesus in the workplace. Men and women that would never step foot into a church setting, would never walk into the company of teaching and of believers, but they go to work just like you do. 97,000 hours worth of work. Our work is our opportunity to witness. And it's truly not just what they see, but as we find in our text this morning, it's also what He sees. And how God views you and me in the workplace. And so what's before us this morning, and what my heart is in pouring out to you, is all a matter of perspective. How do you view work? How do you view your time in working? Is it a place of drudgery and pain and frustration? Or is your workplace an environment of worship and devotion unto Jesus Christ? Right there in your cubicle, it's the little church in your workplace. Now, someone coined the phrase, and I liked it, so I wanted to copy it. Monday moaning. Not Monday morning, but Monday moaning. And that's what a lot of you do. You get up and go, oh man, another day of work. Another week of work. And on Monday morning at 6 a.m., you're already thinking about Friday. You're already hoping that it comes. I hate Mondays. I can't wait till Friday gets here. I'm waiting for the weekend. I don't like my job. I don't like my boss. I don't like my paycheck. I don't like anything. And so you start the week out with the Monday moanings. Now, it's interesting in the Bible never designates Monday as the beginning of your week. That's what the world does. The world designates Mondays as the beginning of your week, but you know, Mondays isn't the beginning of your week. You know what it is? Sundays, right now. The Sunday glorious presence of God. That's how your week begins. And of course, some of you might be thinking, oh, Ed, you're out of touch, man. You're not working where I work. I wish I had your job. I mean, you work with the angels, Ed. You're in the Word all week. You're in prayer. You're in the ministry. No problems, no hassles, no stress, no nothing. By the way, Ed, what is it exactly that you do? I bet you're out golfing on Mondays and Tuesdays playing tennis and Wednesdays riding your bike and Thursdays playing video games. And you know, that's not true. I don't own a bike. 45 minutes of teaching, is that all you do all week? I mean, I want your job. You're in the ministry. Well, friends, the Bible never makes that distinction. All of you are in the ministry too. And whether I'm working with the angels and ministering to needs and in counseling and in studying and answering the phone and visiting at the hospital and the things that go along with what God has given me as a responsibility, I'm in the ministry. But you're answering phones and you're writing notes and you're picking things up and you're delivering things and the other areas of life that you're doing in work, friends, you are in the ministry too. As a matter of fact, there are people in your life that you reach that I would never touch. They wouldn't come to me because as soon as I give them my card and say, oh, you're a pastor, you've got all the answers, don't open the Bible on me. But here you are, you're working side by side with them, building relationships, doing the wonderful ministry at work. There's no such thing as the sacred and the secular. The Christian, everything you touch is sacred. Everywhere you go is sanctified for the use and the work of God. And so it's hard being a Christian in the real world, but God has given us of His Spirit. And whatever we do, God is using us to draw Him, to draw people to His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything we touch is sacred. Jesus said this in John 12:32, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. And so how is He lifted up at King Soopers or at Compaq or over at the Buckley Air Force Base or out on the construction jobs? How is He lifted up? Through you and your life and your testimony and your commitment to Jesus Christ. Even those of you that are at home, perhaps you're looking for a job, or for moms, you're there in one of the most difficult jobs that there is, raising the next generation. God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is lifted up as you set your hand to the plow and are faithful at work. And so the Holy Spirit takes time this morning to exhort and encourage us, to teach and train us as we go out into the workplace. After all, 97,760 hours, that's a big number, a lot of time. That 97,760 hours is God's time. It's God's time that He's entrusted to you. And if He's entrusted us that much, our ears should be open to see how He wants us to use it. Chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Servants, employees, be obedient to your boss. That's it. We can end the study right there. Do what your boss tells you to do. Be obedient in the workplace. And so you might think you have it tough where you work, that you have the worst boss, that things couldn't be worse. Consider who Paul is speaking to. He is speaking to servants. He is literally speaking to slaves. In the Roman Empire, there were more than 6 million slaves that were treated as mere property. And he tells those slaves, be obedient. These slaves, they were viewed as less than human. They were treated horrifically, brutally, and often fatally if they made a mistake. They could be thrown out with the trash, or they could be elevated to a high position. But Paul says, as a Christian, be the best slave that you possibly can be. As a Christian believer in the year 2002, in the United States of America, in the Denver metro area of Colorado, be the best employee that you can be. Do it to the best of your ability. And what made it possible for slaves to submit to the leadership and the rulership and the authority of their masters? Their commitment to Jesus Christ. Because that's what changes everything, doesn't it? Our commitment to Jesus Christ completely, radically changes our lives. No longer are we living to serve self. No longer are we living to serve the desires of our own flesh. But no, we live to bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. We become someone that wants to please Jesus Christ. And so once you factor Jesus Christ into the mix, we understand what he means to be obedient at work. Because we're not just working as unto our boss or to the corporation, we're working as unto the Lord. Be obedient. Obey your bosses. And it's really hard to imagine the atrocities that they went through. And even it's hard to imagine some of the things that you go through at work. Some of the ways that you're treated. And yet our call is to be obedient. And what it really means is to give your boss a full day's work for a fair day's wage. It's so easy to get caught up at the water cooler banter, isn't it? And begin to moan and complain and discuss and discourage other people at work. You know, office politics, it's everywhere. I was in the world working for many years. You know, there's the gossip at work, right? Did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, did you know? I've got the latest. We got to be careful because our ears pop up. But there's the gossip. There's the complainer. Oh, man, did you hear Joe got a raise? He doesn't deserve a raise. What are they thinking? I deserve his raise. I deserve Joe's raise and Mary's raise and everyone else's raise. The complainer. Then there's the murmurer. I can't stand my boss. I can't stand that guy. I hate this company. I can't believe what they're doing to me. They're there. And of course, there's the lazy people at the water cooler. Oh, was I here for 2 hours? I didn't know time passed so far. Then there's the thieves, the ones that not only steal things from work, but also steal time. You know, at work, everyone has a reputation, don't they? You just know it. You just understand as you just watch people for a while and listen, reputations begin to unfold as people just work. And hang out. When I was in the business world, one of my jobs was to go into a workplace and revitalize it and bring life to it and change things and move it on and build a team and begin to bring new life to a dead department. And as I was there, one of the first things I did was spend the first 2 weeks just sitting around watching and listening. Just looking at people, letting them say whatever they want. And all of a sudden, within just a few days, sometimes, some of them was just a few hours, I could find who the gossip was. I know who the complainer was. I knew the lazy ones. I knew the thieves. It was very, very evident. My friends, in that area of work, as even some names and people might be popping into your mind, it's also just as evident who those people are, who those employees are, who are wholeheartedly committed to Jesus Christ. They're different. They do things completely different. They actually come to work on time every day. They leave on time. They do their work. They take their breaks at the right time. They take their lunches at the right time. Instead of complaining, they're praying. Instead of hassling, they're seeking the Lord's will. And it's very evident what kind of employee you are at work. What a danger for us to get caught up in all the things at work. And become something that we really don't want to become. It's very hard for somebody that's a gossiper to lead someone to the Lord. This is the problem with gossip. You know, people are all ears. They are. They want to hear what's going on. But I'll tell you what, they'll never look at you the same way again. You know why? Because they're wondering if you as a gossip are going to say things about them. You'll never have a close relationship if you're known as a gossiper. A complainer? You'll never have a close relationship with someone if you're a complainer, because if they want to be encouraged and they want to be lifted up, they're going to stay way far away from you because they just know what you're going to say. No, the Christian stands out in the workplace. It's your reputation. It's who you are. It's what you do. What is your reputation at work? And you might think, well, wait a minute, I'm just fighting for my rights, Ed. All right, you're fighting for your rights. I'm just trying to right the wrongs of the company. Okay, I guess that's your calling in life. I'm just this, I'm just that, that's fine. But are you doing it as unto the Lord? If Jesus Christ was your boss, would you act the same way? Well, wait a minute, he wouldn't treat me that way. He is your boss. And he's not treating you that way. And sometimes God puts us in a position, he puts us in a place, he surrounds us with difficulties so that things in our life will be chipped away. So that we'll be closer to him. So that we'll cling to him and our faith will grow. It's true. We may struggle with respecting a person. It's true that we may be having trouble respecting our boss, our co-workers. And with that trouble, though, you can still be a faithful Christian. So many things are going on in people's lives at home, in their lives. They struggle with things, especially unbelievers, that cause them to act out in such ways. And we just don't understand it. We don't see the full picture. And that's why we can go to the Lord in prayer. He sees it all. He knows exactly. He knows exactly how he wants to use us. Do you think you're in your company by accident? Working right where you're at? Working for the wage that you're working for right now by accident? You could be anywhere on this globe doing a work. But he has you where you're at. Be faithful. Obey those who are your masters according to the flesh. And then notice he says, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart. Do so, that fear and trembling could actually be translated with respect. Don't just do it because you have to do it, but do it with respect. Respecting, if not the person, the office in which they hold. Because without those supervisors, without those bosses, companies would fall apart. And sure, maybe they're not the best boss. Maybe they're not the best motivator, teammate, player, whatever it might be. But God has placed them there just as he's placed you where you're at. So do so with respect. Sincerity of heart, he says, as to Jesus Christ. That changes the whole picture of our workplace. As we work as unto the Lord. And we can bypass and we can overlook those things that we struggle with. Look at verse 6. Not with eye service. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. You work where you work, your boss is who he is, your cubicle is there, your paycheck is that much by the will of God. That's his will for your life right now. That's what he wants you to be faithful in, to be faithful in little things. The Bible says, don't despise the days of small things, so be faithful with where you're at right now. Not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. It's really a truth that you really can never please man. You come to one place when you please one man and another person's upset. And so you run over there to try to please them and they're okay, but the other person's upset. And then you do a third thing and everybody's upset. You really can't be a pleaser of men. But we sure try. We really do. We try to please man. We try to get in with man. Try to get in with the boss. Maybe I'll get the promotion. You know, if you set out and I set out to please the Lord, you will please man. You and I set out to be faithful employees, not with eye service. And you know the guys with eye service. Whenever the boss is not around, they're out with their crossword puzzles and they're surfing the net and they're goofing off and they're playing around. But then the boss walks in, oh, hi, Mr. Jones. What a great company we work for. I love working here. You're the best guy in the world. And then he walks out of the door on the other side and they're back to the crosswords. I hate this company. Eye service. Just when the boss is looking. You know, the way that the marketplace is going today, the boss is looking all the time. All your email is looked at and read. There's cameras all over the place. Your phones are tapped. Hey, the boss is looking. Not with eye service, but sincerity, in sincerity of heart, respectful. Not as men pleasers, but as servants of Jesus Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The world works to please man. The only reason some people work is to climb the corporate ladder because they think the higher they get and the more money they make that they will be happy. And I remember when I was in the business world, before I became a Christian, I was reading books on how to be a better businessman. And one of the things they said is, put something on your mirror when you wake up and on your refrigerator and say, I work, and then set out a goal. I work for this car, or I work for this house. Do you know if you do that, you're going to be controlled by that car? You're going to be controlled by that house. I would offer a suggestion that if you're going to do that and you want to be reminded, say, I work for Jesus. Everywhere you look, I work for Jesus. On your phone, on your desk, on your screensaver, on the mirror, maybe even in your glasses. You just put them on, I work for Jesus, you know? And those things, they may or may not come. But you can be a strong Christian without them. Hey, there are great Christians that walk and take the bus. Praise the Lord. There are strong Christians that live in an apartment. Praise the Lord. Hey, things, they're going to burn. That's what's going to happen to every single thing that we own. It's going to burn. Pleasing men. You know, and that pleasing man attitude destroys people. Those that are climbing the ladder, they don't have any problem stepping on folks like us that don't want to climb. They just sort of use us as a rung, step on our face. Sometimes you guys walk in here with little footmarks on your forehead from what you went through this week. But they can also destroy Christians. And let me tell you, that it almost destroyed me. You see, for many years in my workplace, I worked for a very small mom-and-pop company, making a very small wage, be able to raise my family. I just went in, worked my time, went home. And for many years, that happened. That's why I didn't have any management. I wasn't involved. I was just a worker bee, and I kind of liked it. Just go in and go out, clock in and clock out. But then out of the blue one day, our boss called us in for a meeting and said, guess what? I just sold the company. Oh, man. Layoffs and all the worries and concerns of merging and coming into this new corporation. But that didn't happen to me. Instead, I got promoted. I got given responsibility. They made me a manager right off the bat. Gave me all this responsibility. Gave me a 50% raise in my pay in like a matter of minutes. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I like this. I was a Christian for 5 years at that time and really felt a strong calling in my heart into the ministry. And up until that point, I was doing a lot of work in the church that I was serving at, doing many things and entrusted with many spiritual responsibilities. But all of a sudden now, I'm on the corporate ladder. I was never on the corporate ladder before, but now I am, and I kind of like it. Now, I wasn't interested in stepping on anyone. I wasn't interested in using anyone, but I sure was interested in climbing it. And I kind of like the money. I kind of like the atmosphere. I kind of like the things that were given to me. And it's interesting, right at that time, as I was being promoted at work, an opportunity came up at the church to become the singles pastor. And they offered it to me. And they said, Ed, I want you to pray for it for a couple weeks. And you know what I did? I didn't pray. I thought in my mind, I don't even need to pray about this because I can't do it. I've got this big move at work. I can't handle it. I'm not going to be able to go any farther at church. I think this is as far as I'm going to go. And so after the 2 weeks, they called me up and I said, no, I don't want it. I just got too many things on my plate right now. I can't do it. And they said, okay. And in that time period, I was going in for an interview to become this big time director guy over many people in all of California. It was just a big deal. And my heart was set on it. And I was in the boss's office all the time. I was, you know how it goes, you know, just trying to get on his good side and just basically kissing up. That's what I was doing. Let's be honest. And so the interview came. And I studied all the interview books. I mean, I had stacks and I read all these books and got all the phrases. And I went into the interview. And in my mind, I aced that interview. And then 2 days later, my boss came in and said, Ed, I want to talk to you. He walked me from my office to his, sat me down, looked at me right in the eye and said, Ed, you did a great job on your interview. And I said, yeah, I know. But you didn't get the job that quick. You didn't get it. I'm bringing somebody in from Northern California, and he's going to be your boss. He's going to be here next week. His name is Ron. Hope you have fun with him. Bye. It devastated me. Jesus was teaching me a lesson. I went home, and I cried, and I was upset. I didn't know what to do. How could I give up the ministry? What was I thinking? I just called up, and I said, hey, look, I made a big mistake. I didn't pray about it. I had this, and I just explained. I just confessed. I repented. I said, is there still a chance? And they said, well, I was talking with somebody else. He said, oh, well, I'll call Pastor Jeff and see what he says. And so they went through that rigmarole. The end of the story is that I did become that singles pastor. And I stopped worrying about work. I didn't care about what position I had. I didn't care about what my title was. And as a matter of fact, having that boss was the best thing that ever happened to me in that work, because he was the guy that he and I had an agreement. He said, if you get the work done, Ed, you can do whatever you want. Come and go when you want. Just have a pager on. And I'll take care of you. And so then we went into the ministry. I went into the ministry and had all this free time. And God continued to use it. And then it's the same job. It's the same reputation that moved me to Colorado. I mean, they just didn't move us. They gave us a trip here on a red carpet. And I know it happens. And if you guys aren't careful, it'll happen to you. And maybe there is a call ministry on your life. Maybe God does want to do something so great And you think work is the only thing that's going to keep you there. You think that paycheck is the only thing that you can depend upon. You believe that that money is all you can live on. If you took a pay cut, you would never survive. Let me tell you, you can take a pay cut and survive. You can take a pay cut and thrive because God is on your side. Listen to this that Jesus said. He said, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come on you unexpectedly." Jesus said, be careful that you don't get into that party scene. Be careful that you're not a drunk. And then all of a sudden he says, hey, the cares of this life, they're just as bad. Be careful. Don't let them suck you away from the beauty and the vibrancy and the strength of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It can happen. I've been there myself. Be careful. At the end of verse 6, it says that we are servants of the Lord, servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Look at verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Your boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. Your boss, my boss, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we're working to. You know, there's another bumper sticker that says, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Do you believe that? He really is. He's your boss. Your work is not primarily to your boss or to the world. It's not primarily to please man or your fellow co-worker. It's to please Jesus. You see, the world's way of doing things is to skate by and try to beat the system and count the clock and skim on materials and mark up prices. But the way of the Christian worker in the workplace is to do things, all things, in honor to Jesus Christ. And the command comes with a promise at the end of verse 8, that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. And I don't just believe that means eternally. I also believe it means in the here and now. A faithful, honest, loyal employee will be rewarded. And if the only reward that you ever receive is a clean conscience, that's a huge trophy on the mantelpiece of the Christian. Just to go to bed and know that you've given your employer a hard day's work for a fair day's wage. It's amazing how these little principles, just a one perspective change, will completely change our attitudes at work. And right when your attitude begins to change and right when your perspective starts to get in order, God moves you on. He blesses you. Especially for those of you that are struggling with your bosses right now and struggling in the workplace and hate your hours and you hate they're always changing your hours and they're always changing your pay and all these things. You know, when that happened to Jacob, when his wages were changed all those 10 times, it says that he worked because he loved Rachel. It was a labor of love. It was a labor of love. I think Jesus Christ is looking for those individuals that are engaging themselves in the things of Jesus Christ on this earth. He's looking for someone on behalf that he can come on their behalf and do a mighty work through them. And I believe God will open doors for you and promote you. I believe that God will open doors for you and protect you and provide for you as you follow through on His plan. Are you called into the ministry? Be faithful where you're at. Do you have big goals and dreams? Be faithful where you're at. Some of you are called to be in the workplace of the world the rest of your life, to be a faithful Christian. And as we get into it in a moment, to be a faithful employer. You can honor God in that place as much as you can honor God in the ministry in the church. As a matter of fact, we need more godly business owners. We need more Christ-like employees in the world. Because really, it's not about a paycheck. It's not about possessions, all those things. It's about honoring Jesus Christ and seeing people get saved. That's what happened to you. And I'm so glad that the ministry was going on when you got saved. Where God used somebody to come into your life and lead you to Him. For all the people you encounter in life, someone will be impressed by your dedication. Someone will appreciate your devotion. Someone will even recognize your enthusiasm. And perhaps of all those people that see you, they'll open the door just a little crack for you to run in with the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. So employees, one thing, do what your boss tells you to do. Employers, verse 9, And you masters, do the same things to them. So everything we just said, employers, you're to do the same thing. You're to serve your employees. Just as they're to serve you, you are to serve them. With what attitude? Well, notice, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. You see, God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he is not impressed with titles. It doesn't matter if you're the owner, or the CEO, or the supervisor, or the director, or the manager. He's not impressed with titles. You're only the owner of that business, or the CEO, or the director, or the supervisor, because God has entrusted that to you. What an honor. You've been entrusted with his resources and his employees, his people, because he knows he can trust you. And the moment that he can't trust you, you know what's going to happen? Your business will fail. Your company will go out of business and there's no need for a CEO anymore. Supervisors, they're the first to get laid off, aren't they? All that management, they're the first ones to go. But see, if you're faithful and you're trustworthy, you may be like me, having gone through four or five different changes up in the corporate world that I worked in. There was never once that I was laid off or demoted. It always seemed that with every new change, God would take me to another level. And I can see now, looking back, and one day you're going to be able to do this, I can see why God was moving me like a chess piece in that workplace. Some places I didn't want to be, but he was moving me there because he wanted me in Colorado. That is so cool. I would have never seen that. I couldn't have possibly seen that in my mind's eye, but that was God's will. And so God has a will for you as he's moving you and taking you and entrusting you with more resources. Employers, treat your employees the same way that God wants you to be an employee. He cares about your position. He does care about your influence, and he's entrusted you with it to save souls and to lift up Jesus. But I have this marked in my Bible. You don't even want to do that if you're in management or you are a business owner this morning. He says in verse 9, you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening. Now, when was threatening ever a good motivator? When did it ever motivate you? As a matter of fact, it does just the opposite, doesn't it? Threatening just turns people off. Turns them away. They no longer want to work. They no longer want to do the things that you want them to do. And so he says, he just kind of throws that in there, giving up threatening, because I found that titles and positions, they have a tendency to ruin people. I mean, you were the best worker you possibly could be when you were just a line worker, when you were just answering phones, when you were just taking in the calls, when you were just doing what you were told. But then one day somebody saw something in you and said, you need to be in management. You said, yeah, I do need to be in management. And all of a sudden they slap a title on you and you're not the same anymore. You ever work with somebody like that? You were hired at the same time, you were trained together, you worked together for years, and all of a sudden they become a supervisor and you think, what happened? Why are they acting this way? He says, employers, owners, CEOs, supervisors, don't intimidate. Give up your threatening. Trust in the Lord. I really believe that if you have a place of responsibility in your work, you need to pray for your work. Pray for your employees. Pray for yourself that you can apply these things right where you're at. As you follow through with God's calling in your life, your employees will wonder, what is it about him? I've never worked with somebody like that. Why do they treat me so well? Why did they give me that time off? I knew it would hurt the company, but I just had to take care of it. And he gave it to me anyway. What is it? And what are they doing in the office before when I come in early? Why are they all huddled around the desk? Bible wide open. Oh, the Lord speaks through our simple actions. Pray for your businesses. Pray for your bosses. Pray for your employees. Pray for your employers. Not that just you would get more business and more jobs, but that God would open a door to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and see his grace and mercy spread through. And so we find that this is it for employees and employers. We're just to work as unto the Lord because he sees it all. And he loves to bless a faithful believer. And I like that Paul says, servants, be obedient, because that's what Jesus is looking for. Of all the sacrifices and all the outward appearance and all the man-pleasing and all the things that we do, what God is looking for in our lives is obedience. And when he gets obedience, he can bless, because with obedience, you open a channel by which God can pour his glory into you. And he'll fill you so full with those rivers of living water that you'll begin to overflow into other people's lives. I read about an old fable that's been passed down for generations, talking about an elderly man who was traveling with a boy and a donkey. As they walked through the village, the man was leading the donkey and the boy was walking behind. The townspeople said the old man was a fool for not riding, so to please them, he climbed up on the animal's back. When they came to the next village, the people said the old man was cruel to let the child walk while he enjoyed his ride. So to please them, he got off and set the boy on the animal's back and continued on his way. And in the third village, people accused the child of being lazy for making the old man walk. And the suggestion was made that they both ride. So the man climbed on and they set off on the donkey again. In the fourth village, the townspeople were angry at the cruelty to the donkey because he was made to carry two people. The frustrated man was last seen carrying the donkey down the road. If you live to please the Lord Jesus Christ, this will not happen to you. You will honor him, you will please him, and you will be blessed. It isn't that what we want in our lives. Lord, just pour the blessings on us because we want to share them with everyone that we know. Let's pray.